The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted that you are here on Find Your Phone Friday. Join the conversation at 770-5633. In fact, you can call right now. Got some open phone time before we talk with Dr. Carol Lieberman. Wanted to talk a little bit about a strange time. You know, the dirt bagginess, and it seems that the longer we're going into this this kind of cultural change or lack of cultural standard, the more you find out that, there are way too many dirt bags and perverts that seem to be in charge of things. But we'll talk with the with her about the Diddy situation. And, of course, there's Eric Adams, too. And I don't know, but it'll be interesting to dig into the psychiatric side of that, which, of course, is what Dr. Carol Lieberman does. And she looks at it from a psychiatrist's point of view. All right. Anyway, 770-5633. We're also going to have Mr. Outdoors on today and talk about where things are going. And also David Tarashuk. David Tarashuk is a longtime PBS television journalist from Scotland originally. And he spent, the majority of his adult life just going after trying to find out who his father was, trying to get paternity. He's in his 70s now. He's not a young man. And it was such, I guess sometimes it's hard for me as someone who just had what would be considered the normal middle class upbringing. You know, I knew my mom and dad, and there was never any doubts about this thing. And he was born during World War II. And under, shall we say, sketchy circumstances, you know, when back then to be have your mother not be married and pregnant and giving birth was a much worse sort of thing, much bigger deal, and a lot of family secrets and trauma, and apparently a rape was involved in this particular one, and a rape by a priest. So it really it's just a. In a quite interesting story, and it affected his life deeply. And I think to myself, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to relate to that, but I like to talk to people of these different experiences, because you start thinking, well, gosh, couldn't you have just moved on from it, right? But it was something that just drove him. And of course, from all accounts, pretty good television journalist, but was a raging alcoholic. You have to wonder what side of the parentage and all the issues he was dealing with growing up. I had to deal with the alcoholism, finally got over that from what I understand. But he wrote a memoir about this also. I'll talk with him a little bit after 8:10, kind of our social sciences guest of the week. I guess you can call the P. Diddy thing a social science guest of the week, too. So we're dealing with the softer sciences this morning, okay? All right. Got some changes going on here in Southern Oregon government. The Ashland School Superintendent has implemented a hiring freeze. This is in the Rogue Valley Times. I was reading that yesterday. And so hiring freeze, immediately tightening of the policy since the Ashland School Board met a few weeks ago. And the budgets are not looking good. And we're seeing stuff like this happening in all sorts of school districts. And they get a certain amount of money from the state per student, but the part that is not being talked about a lot is the reduction in enrollment. Enrollment has been plummeting, you know, down 5-10% or more in certain public schools, and I have a feeling that we're going to be looking at some conversations over the coming years of, all right, is your job to tax people to as high as they can to support the existing infrastructure that you have? Or is your job to educate children? And it would seem to me that we're going to have some school districts around here that are going to have no choice but to start consolidating schools and making fewer buildings do more with less. Because if the reduction in enrollment is actually something which is a trend and not really going to be changing too much, if the area is aging or having fewer children, you don't need to be going out there with school bonds and building more schools. You need to be finding ways to to close existing schools and take some of those students and consolidate them in fewer buildings. Now, I know that parents don't like that. Parents like the idea of having their neighborhood school, but you got to be able to pay for the whole thing. Got to be able to pay for it. I know this has been something that Three Rivers has been struggling with for quite some time, and I think they're going for another school bond this time around. But all you have to do is remember the real, well, pedal meets the metal, so to speak, or rubber meets the road, I think is really what I was talking about, that Richard Edmonds from the Oregon Eagle was talking about how the amount of money that is attached to every Three Rivers School District student, it's about $30,000 a year. $30,000. That's real money. You know, $30,000 in the private sector buys you more than an elite education here. I'm talking about like the Cascade Christian High Schools and things like that. You can just imagine if there was truly school choice here in the state of Oregon and what $30,000 assigned to every school student would end up getting. But we have districts that are trying to support a lot of buildings that aren't as many. In fact, I was listening to Lars yesterday. Lars was talking about school districts up in Washington, in northern Oregon, that were talking about building new school buildings and then immediately mothballing some of them. Yeah, building these huge, huge buildings and then no mothball. And then they wouldn't be able to use them all. But, well, we'll have them just in case. Just in case that... you know, Gen Z starts having kids again. I don't know. Yeah, but it's a very interesting time. But they've frozen hiring over at the Ashland School District. I thought that was an interesting story. We also have a couple of people. Now, we already knew that Matt Brinkley, the planning director, had already left the city of Medford. Someone had asked me about that because I had heard some about that. Apparently, Kelly Madding, the deputy city manager, steps down October 4th. And Harry Weiss, director of Medford Urban Renewal Agency, and he'll be leaving, but continues on as Mura consultant. Yes, as soon as we get the good old boys getting in there, and as soon as they get all the money for the proper, meaning the politically well-connected, low-income housing setup, then people will probably leave. I'm being a little cynical on Friday, so just excuse me. Okay. All right. Got a release yesterday. Oregon Department of Forestry getting some money from state. They're trying to cover their wildfire costs. About $48 million was given to them. The emergency board, they call that the E-board. You know, when I talked to the state legislators, the E-board voted Wednesday to send about $47.5 million to the forestry department just to try to fill the hole because of all of the wildfires that have been occurring. Some good news on the federal level. This is something that is very different. I was reading the Military Times this morning, and after several dismal recruiting years, the Army officials are announcing that they have exceeded their recruiting goals for this fiscal year for the first time in just ages. Army Secretary Christine Wormuth, made the announcement yesterday that the Army had gone past its 55,000 recruit goal for fiscal year 2024. He said, we not only met our goal, but we exceeded it. Results represent a reversal of recent years when the Army and other services struggled to overcome restrictions on in-person recruiting, all sorts of other things. And frankly, I think you also had a lot of people that were not looking at today's woke Army as something that was worth putting their time into. I still don't think that has changed, but they claim they have enough people, at least at this point. They don't know if they're going to be able to keep this up. I would be really curious if this could be an indicator that that there could be more recession or chances of growing recession where the military starts looking as looking like a better option if things are starting to already roll over in the Biden-Harris administration's economy right now. Could be. But still, there is or there are rather just fewer kids that were born, fewer kids that are available for the military. So we'll see where that goes, but at least they've filled the hole for right now, so to speak. Jack Phillips has a great piece in the Epoch Times. I'm a big fan of the Epoch Times, and I subscribe, and I hope that you do too, because they're, frankly, one of the best national papers that that does some solid reporting. Not always the first on a story, but the reporting that's there is solid. I really appreciate that about the Epoch Times. And this is an interesting story south of the border, of our border, I should say, in California. A federal judge in California 2 days ago ordered the EPA to strengthen rules around fluoride in drinking water. And they're writing that the chemical could pose a risk to children's intellectual development. Now, many of the folks are kind of like in the medical freedom movement and the vaccine questioning movement. And they've had issues about fluoride in drinking water for a long, long time. Of course, the American Dental Association has been propagandizing, saying that for some reason, you know, our teeth will fall out of our heads without the minimum adult daily requirement of tons of fluoride in your drinking water. They've been doing that ever since I was a kid. But what's interesting is that this U.S. District Judge Edward Chin in San Francisco notes that while it is not certain, it was a big ruling, by the way, about 80 pages. But he noted that while it's not certain that the amount of fluoride that is typically added to drinking water can lower the IQ in children, he concludes that new research suggests that it might prove such a risk, that fluoride in the drinking water added to drinking water in drinking water systems could be damaging children for IQs. This is something that the alternative medicine people have been saying for years, and now we have a federal judge that is actually agreeing. In August, the Federal National Toxicology Program found that there is a link between higher amounts of fluoride exposure and lower IQ in the kids, potentially upending the longstanding practice of adding it to the tap water to prevent tooth decay. And the agency bases its conclusion on studies involving fluoride levels at about twice the recommended limit for drinking water. Chen's citing with several advocacy groups that filed the lawsuit against the EPA, which had argued that it wasn't clear what effect fluoride exposure might have at lower levels. However, the Fed agency is required to make sure that there's a margin of safety between the hazard level and what the kids are exposed to. So we're finally getting some questioning on the fluoride issue, and I imagine some medical freedom people, people not wanting to be medicated by your water, are happy. Now, that doesn't really affect us much here in Southern Oregon. At least I don't think it does. I know that the Medford Water Commission does not add, the Medford Water District does not add fluoride to the water coming out of the Big Butte Springs. I know that's something fine. We don't have fluoride in our water. I also haven't heard about any evidence that Southern Oregon has more teeth falling out of its head than other areas of the state that may fluoridate, but maybe we do. Maybe we do have worse teeth. I don't know. But I haven't noticed that, but I'm not a dentist, and I don't do that for a living. But needless to say, we don't do it here in Oregon, and I think we've always been kind of proud of not doing the fluoridation here in Southern Oregon. And fluoride is a touchy chemical, so the evidence is starting to say, I mean, well, how many decades have they been doing the fluoride? 50, 60, 70 years that they've been doing this? Of course, we wonder why people are stupid. Could there be a connection? I don't know. Well, we can talk about that, too, or anything else on your mind. I hope your morning's doing well this Friday, September 27th. But at least the San Francisco judge is saying, yeah, take a look at it, EPA. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on.
Defend your rights as a taxpayer.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
25 after 6, 770-5633. Steve, I was just talking about how a San Francisco judge wants the EPA to take a look at fluoride in drinking water. You know, the fluoridation program saying that there is rising evidence of intellectual or IQ problems with kids that have a bit too much of it in their water. So what are you thinking about that? Huh?
Well, I'm a wild salmon from this area. I'm fourth generation from here. And my family all had bad teeth. I had an aunt that had false teeth at 19. Partly there were no dentists much, and people really didn't take care of their teeth very well. But there wasn't any fluoride. And there isn't fluoride in the water now, but you get fluoride in your toothpaste, and you go to the dentist, they treat your teeth with fluoride. So, and people's teeth are so much better. My oldest boy had one cavity by the time he was through high school, and I think the youngest boy had two. I must have 20. I mean, I lost teeth when I was a teenager even. So fluoride does make a difference. Whether or not it affects IQ, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess the point being, though, is that, you know, if you can treat it topically and do it that way, I'm perfectly okay with that. The idea that we medicate people in the water, I'm not such a big fan of. That's all.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And on IQ, IQ is a very interesting topic. IQ is defined as what IQ tests measure.
Mm-hmm.
That's by the people in universities and things.
I do understand that. But still, there are known differences, and I know that an IQ test doesn't. Yeah, the IQ test is testing what they're looking for in considering IQ, right?
Right. So they can't really define what IQ is, except for it's what an IQ test measures. So.
Yeah. But the one thing you do know is that if you end up going into your typical prison system, you will find many people with very, very low intelligence, and whether they've taken an IQ test or not. So there does seem to be a bit of a connection there.
It's not Thursday, but, you know, it's just to make more Democrats.
Okay. All right. Have fun with that, Steve. Thanks. 770-5633. What's on your mind here? Let me go to the next line. Good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
This is Miner Dave.
Yes, Dave.
Yeah, on fluoride, back in the 70s, they wanted to put it in the water system, but my mom worked to fight against it because where they get it now is from nuclear reactors. The fluoride is separated out in a nuclear reactor. Why would you want to take nuclear waste?
Well, is the fluoride nuclear, though?
Well, it's processed out of uranium.
Uh-huh.
So it's got to be.
Yeah, I think they get it from other. I'm not convinced about that nuclear waste thing. Maybe you're right about that. I'll have to look that up. I've heard all sorts of stories about it, but all I can say is that fluoride is easy enough to get in your toothpaste and also from your dentist with topical applications. I never did really quite see the need to apply it in the drinking water for folks.
My mom worked on politically to keep it out of the water system mm-hmm. in the Rogue Valley, and I guess she was successful because she pointed out the cost didn't pencil out.
Yeah, it is still that way. In fact, I went up and looked it up on the Medford Water Commission's or the Medford Water District's board on their web board, and it's fine, and they don't do that. Anyway, hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Vicki from the Applegate.
Hi, Vicki. How you doing?
Good. As far as the fluoride, I mean, they do put it in the toothpaste, mm-hmm. and I agree with you. I think if your child is having an issue or you think maybe he needs more or she needs more, it should be through a dentist or, you know, some other way. Because when you're putting it in the water, you're not just treating children. You're treating everybody with it. Second of all, I would be more concerned, living up here, I'm on a well, so I would be more concerned with the bleach or chloride or chlorine that they're putting in the water. When I go to town, that I can get a glass of water at my mother-in-law's in Medford, and that's all I smell, bleach.
Yeah, well, that is part of the disinfecting aspect of it because of, especially in the summer, adding river water to the Big Butte Spring.
Well, right, but that can't be good for you. I mean, and I would be more worried about what they're putting in the food as far as making the kids dumber.
Okay, now, hey, okay, for Vicki, on that one, you get a real American salute, okay? Yeah, that's one thing that RFK Jr., God bless him, may have more influence in a Trump administration than anything else, getting the crap out of the food system. And let me go to line four. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
This is Not So Crazy.
Hi, Gene. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. What I've heard is it's one of the fluoride is one of the key ingredients in rat poison.
Well, anything can be poisonous at a certain enough level. You know, it's just like there's salt on your you're putting salt on your eggs in the morning is one thing, but too much salt can kill you too. Okay, it's like everything.
Oh,
else.
Oh yeah, I suppose too many bullets if somebody's shooting at you would probably kill you too. But
that's copper and lead poisoning. That's what that is, right?
I just ordered some copper bars.
Copper bars for what?
Well, just because I haven't got any copper bars, and maybe copper will be worth more than gold in the future. Who knows?
Could be. Yeah, maybe not. But thanks for the call, Gene. Let me grab a couple more here. I don't know how we got. I didn't think we were going to be getting into a big conversation on the fluoride, but I guess so. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Sherry from Medford.
Hi, Sherry. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to talk about the schools, and Lars Larson was talking yesterday about making the schools over capacity for what their current needs are.
Yeah, they were building them hugely, and then I guess they're going to mothball some of the classrooms. Here, we're wondering how we're going to keep things going. They've frozen the budget in Ashland. They're freezing the hiring because things are tight.
Well, I think one of the reasons why they're going to prolong like the Three Rivers and stuff from condensing those schools and whatnot is because you have to think over the last several years, we've had so many people come across the border. Well, they're going to start popping out babies if they haven't already. They need to have schools for those kids.
Oh, so they're thinking about schooling for illegal aliens then and their kids. Yeah. Got it.
And our percentage of kids has gone down in the school districts. And I think that's because there are many people who are taking their children out of school and homeschooling them or taking them to private school. And I'm afraid what's going to end up happening is you're going to have the illegals or whatnot that are coming over the border going to public schools. And then the people who have been here for generations, their kids and grandkids are going to be going to private school. It's going to be a big, huge separation.
Is that good or is that a bad, or why would it be bad?
I'm not sure if it's bad, except for the way that they're going to be taught.
Oh, okay. That's a very good point. That's a very good point, because arguably the public school is a little more ideologically driven.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Let me go to, you could be right about that. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, it's David.
David, go ahead.
So, Minor Dave, that's really great. His mom had the insight all that time ago to know that that was bad to be drinking that stuff. So, fluoride is a product of a nuclear reaction. And so we had a big problem when we were doing nuclear testing before World War II, because down in Nevada, there was fluoride showing up in this water. And so the government found this super weak link that some dentist had done, saying, fluoride might have some, it wasn't efficacious to my understanding, and it still isn't. I think it's kind of junk science, but we basically didn't want the rest of the world knowing we were doing surface level, nuclear weapon. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I've been told is what led to this whole fluoride in the water situation, because it's absolutely bizarre to think that you should be drinking fluoride if you.
Well, like I said, if you need it, it's pretty easy to get.
In your diet? To eat it?
No. I'm talking about if you really want to put it on your teeth, it's pretty easy to do so. Okay?
Oh, topically?
Yeah, topically you could do that. Pretty easy.
Yeah, okay. But you shouldn't be drinking it.
All right. Okay, we're not going to disagree on that at all. All right? Thank you, David. All right, we're going to hold the fluoride calls for a little while, okay, because we're going to do P. Diddy calls next, all right? And if you are bound and gagged by P. Diddy, okay, then you can call. Other than that, I'm going to talk with Dr. Carol Lieberman about this latest explosion of perversion here in the United States of America.
One of each, Forte Van, 696.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:38, Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, MPH, board-certified psychiatrist, and a friend of the common man. Actually, she's been helping people cope with terrorism as the terrorist therapist since 9/11. And gosh, you've written all sorts of books about this here. Terroristtherapist.com. Dr. Carol, welcome back. It's great to have you on the show. Good morning.
Thank you so much.
And let's see, you've also written children's books about this too. So what it was, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists. Oh, my. In other words, how to protect your child in time of terror, right? This is something that you've had out at schools and various other things. You're talking about people in this issue, right? Dealing with terrorism, a big part of it.
For parents and teachers, and the first half of it, and then the second half is a picture book about terrorism for kids.
Okay. Hey, before we get into the P. Diddy debauchery, and I just got to ask you. When I spoke with you a number of weeks ago, you were saying that one of the issues that Kamala Harris, presidential candidate Kamala Harris, has is imposter syndrome. And do you stand by that? The more that you see her, are you concluding that this is still what's going on, that she really doesn't believe that even she is worthy, which is why we get all of these word salads all the time every time she gets talked to by someone in the media.
Yes. You know, the more we see of her, the more it seems to substantiate what I was saying about her having imposter syndrome, meaning that she knows that she really doesn't have the qualifications to be vice president, no less president. She slept her way up in California, starting her career. Mm-hmm. And then she knows that Biden or the Democrats picked her to run as vice president because she was a woman of color, and that would get a lot of votes that they might not otherwise get. And so she knows that she doesn't really deserve to be there, and she's scared all the time that people are going to be figuring her out, which is why she has the cackle. And one of the reasons she has the cackle, and she does other things too that are all show these insecurities, show the anxiety that she's feeling, especially when she's in a big, when she's seen by a lot of people, like on a big show or
a venue, big venue or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big venue. That's the word. Yes. the more we're seeing of her, the word salad is ridiculous. And that's not something new. You know, they show videos of even from years back, and she, I mean, I think it's gotten worse, but she has been that way, saying these things where she thinks that they're making sense, or she may not think, you know, she may not be sure that they're making sense, but she uses words, you know, lofty words that she thinks, oh, well, they're gonna think I'm smart if I say that.
Right. Now, it's not a lack of intelligence kind of issue. It's just really that that internal, it's almost sets up an internal tick. Is that almost kind of what you're talking about, that realizing that I really don't know what I'm talking about and I have to try to fake it till I make it? But in spite of that, psychiatrically or, you know, emotionally, you still come out with that tick, the cackle, and whatever else it takes.
Hmm? Yes. You could call that an interesting way of looking at it, as a tick. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She can't. She can't even convince herself. Oh boy.
Right.
You know, that's really interesting because, you know, you think of most people who run for political office are very. Well, they're very narcissistic usually because it takes a lot of ego a lot of times to do this, to put yourself out there. And there's always a bit of narcissism and braggadociousness, you know, that tends to come
in.
And you tend to just overemphasize your strengths and things. So she's apparently not real good at that, I guess. Right. That's not a part of her personality.
No. And, you know, the thing is, it will be getting worse because the more people are critical, the more she's out there, the more people are critical of her. And that's going to be, you know, making her insecurities worse.
Mm, okay. Well, I just don't want to have her, you know, God forbid she becomes president and then as she, you know, starts to cackle as she's getting ready to hit the nuclear button. That's all I'm going to say, all right?
Yes.
No, I just don't.
Yes.
I don't want her having the keys and the codes. All right. Doctor, let's go to another just a bit of cultural ridiculousness and debauchery here. And,
yes.
You know, I've tried to stay away from this this P. Diddy story because there's just so much of it. Is this just the latest iteration of an Epstein, of a Jeffrey Epstein type of culture? I mean, could this have even been an intelligence operative where we have honeypots and have more people, which I'm starting to think that Jeffrey Epstein may have been that more than anything else. You get all sorts of debauchery on all the big people. It's a lot of power out there that can be used. But what do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think, huh?
Well, I think that he's been getting away with this Puff Diddy. Epstein got away with it for a long time too, but Diddy, to make it easy, he has been getting away with this for a very, very long time. And it's interesting how when, you know, a woman started filing a case and all the things started falling one after the other. Like it was a quick fall. It took a long time, but it has been a quick fall. And he is in jail, as I'm sure you know, on suicide watch. And I think that that's very interesting because there are so many people who are at risk, just like with Epstein, but different people probably, or some of the different people,
He is at such risk of being killed, just like Epstein was. And, you know, this suicide watch, I mean, I think that's what they do, like with Epstein and now with him, to make it seem like, oh, well, he's at risk of killing himself, so that when he's killed, it doesn't look like a surprise.
Okay, yeah, all right. Well, that does tell me then that there are some very powerful people that really don't want this story getting out. Would that be fair to say? Very powerful people?
Well, yes. I mean, he was involved, just like Epstein, with a lot of people came to his parties. A lot of people were involved, you know, because he was such a powerful, rich figure. Mm-hmm. At one time, it was like cool to be associated with him. Some people thought. And so, and now, you know, that he's being exposed, everybody's running.
Once he's been exposed, everyone's been running. But everybody was happy to kind of hang out with him during the time, though. I don't know what that speaks to our culture, or
exactly.
how that speaks to our entertainment culture these days.
Well, you know, drugs and sex. He's being indicted. He's been indicted for sex trafficking, racketeering, and transportation to engage in prostitution. Mm-hmm. And there's all this talk of his freakouts, which were these orchestrated sexual performances that he would, you know, orchestrate, and that he would apparently drug some women to be involved with, or drug, you know, not just women, mm-hmm. Drug men and women to be involved with. And I mean, the thing that's, you know, I'm sure his defense is going to be, just like, you know, all people who are accused of sex crimes, their defense is it was consensual.
Oh.
And, excuse me. And with some people, you know, that may be true, but apparently people are coming out, like this one male prostitute just recently came out with a video, and it's a freak out, and it showed that he gave the women drugs before. So, like, they couldn't really give consent when they were already plied with drugs. So, I mean, because, you know, things like there's a picture going around of him eating food off a naked lady.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that if this was consensual, you know, this wouldn't be necessarily such a big deal. But the problem is that all of these things weren't consensual.
What I was going to touch in on, and, you know, the psychiatric profile of people that do these kind of things, is the sexual debauchery, is it almost kind of a drug addict sort of deal? And like I said, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I read a lot of stuff that you do and everything else. But is it like a dopamine hit when you do the, okay, we're going to do the freak out. You got all the naked men and women, you know, all around here, and you get a dopamine hit, and then you need to do more and get worse and worse and worse in order to get the hit, kind of like a drug addict?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I mean, he must have been sexually abused when he was a child. Apparently, he was born in Harlem, but he grew up in Mount Vernon, which was a nice place. And his mother was a model and a teacher's assistant. But his father was killed when he was two, when Diddy was two.
Hmm.
So clearly that he was killed. He was shot because he made friends with a drug dealer, a big New York drug dealer. So he got shot for some reason. And so Diddy didn't have a father since he was 2 years old. But he was an altar boy. And I don't know, you know, I can't
An altar boy.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. This was his reaction to having been an altar boy. He had to go the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, certainly we don't have any proof of this, but it is possible that he was sexually abused by a number of people. Actually, there's this interesting photo, you may have seen it, of him kissing his mother on the lips.
That's kind of creepy. Hmm?
Yeah, but I mean, it looks very creepy. But I mean, you know, it could have been he could have been part of the whole thing of priests, you know, sexually abusing their altar boys, things
That's
like
true.
That. I don't know who he was abused by, but he had to have been abused to go in this direction. I mean, just because he made a ton of money, and of course, drugs don't help. I mean, that kind of makes people show their dark side.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't necessarily do these freak-offs. I mean, this is a very extreme kind of sexual act. And so so that has to come from something that was rooted in childhood.
I'll bet you're kind of curious to see who else will be affected as this ends up going to trial, because rumor has it, I think it was in the Daily Mail, was writing about concerns that that Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck, you know, the two stars that were married, they got divorced. And the rumor has it that Affleck found out that that J-Lo was involved in those freakouts, or what had actually been done, you know, in those kind of situations. Did you see that story? I was curious.
Well, yes, the Daily Mail is it's my daily forbidden pleasure.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's an amazingly well-edited newspaper. Yes. But yeah, I mean, if there's any American dirt, you'll always find it on the Daily Mail. I think I think they had the Daily Mail just for that purpose, you know?
Yes. Well, actually, I start off with the New York Post, then I go to the Daily Mail, and then I go to Breitbart to find out the truth.
Okay.
But the Daily Mail is really good because it goes in depth with these stories. Like, you know, the New York Post has the stories in a shorter form, mm-hmm. and then you go to the Daily Mail, and they have much more information. I actually am quoted in the Daily Mail today.
Oh, you are?
Talking about Elon Musk, yes. I fairly often get quoted in the Daily Mail, so I like that paper. I mean, I liked it even before I was getting quoted a lot.
Well, what do they say about you with Elon Musk? I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, it's about his, you know, the question was that some fans are concerned about him because he has gotten himself better. They called it a glow-up, you know, physically. He's lost weight and so on. But some of the fans think that he has more radical ideas. So you'll have to read it to see what.
Okay. Well, now what do you say? I know I'll have to read the story. I will read the story. Okay, Irene. But give me just a little taste of it. Do you think that Elon is in bad shape emotionally? You know, psychiatrically, from a psychiatrist's viewpoint.
I wouldn't necessarily say bad shape. You know, first of all, he's an incredibly brilliant man.
Mm-hmm.
That's to start with.
Yeah, but brilliant people can be crazy too, as you well know. Okay,
yes, they can. Yes, uh-huh. They can. But I talked about how, and I actually had talked about this quite a while ago, a few years ago, about posing the possibility that he might have bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, I had dug up an interview where he said something of the kind, but he said it sort of in jest. You know, it wasn't it was like he was musing about himself, like considering it, that he may be manic depressive or bipolar. And so I connected it to his glow up because, you know, in a manic phase, you might well do a lot of exercise, or you might well, first of all, be running around and not eating very much and so on, and not sleeping very much. And so that could, you know, explain his
weight loss, and yeah.
And then these what people are calling radical ideas. I don't know that they're so radical, but he could well, because of feeling more confident about the way that he looks, he could more easily be spouting these things.
Ah, okay. So, well, you know, when people in the media talk about Elon Musk getting radical, you know, that means that he's not preaching communism like everybody else is.
Exactly.
Okay. So maybe, we thought it used to be one of us, and now he's not a he's not a communist.
Exactly.
He must be going crazy. Let me go talk to Dr. Carol Lieberman about it. Right.
Yes,
let's get the quote.
Right.
Oh man, I gotta tell you.
Yes.
But you know. Is there back to the P. Diddy situation? Like I said, I always thought that entire culture, to me, the musical and rap culture has always been rather sordid to me. Was he different than any of the other big luminaries within that music industry? What made him unique, if at all? And where do you think it heads from this point, Doctor?
Well, what makes him unique is that, you know, he was richer and he did things in a grander scale. I mean, the other part of this, which is, you know, in a lot of ways even worse than the sex, is the violence. You know, I'm sure you saw the video of his, and there's probably more than one video out there, but there's this one of him beating up a woman by an elevator
mm-hmm.
in a hotel.
Yep.
And he's just vicious. I mean, there's no stopping him. And I mean, I think that that kind of can characterize his whole what he's become. That I think, you know, sometimes when people are poor and they, you know, through working hard or whatever, you know, I don't think anyone's saying that he necessarily made money from his freakouts. I don't know. I guess it's still being investigated. But I mean, it's not that. He made money because he was talented and all of that. But sometimes when people come from poverty and all of a sudden they have a lot of money, it kind of pushes them to do outlandish things, like to push the envelope even further, to see how far they can push the envelope. And I think that that's part of it, whether it's with the drugs or the sex or the violence.
I had no power. Now I'm rich. I've got the power. Woohoo! I'm going to show them.
Exactly.
Right? A little bit of that.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, is there a little bit of that when you talk about even P. Diddy, even that that syndrome that seems to afflict so many people who win big lottery prizes in which they kind of go crazy? Is it a similar kind of psychiatric situation, such a rapid change in fortune and status?
Well, the people who win lotteries, though, I mean, in some cases, but not all cases. I mean, not all cases go as crazy as P. Diddy. I wonder if he's going to, talking about that, I wonder if he's going to try, I don't think he would, but it would be interesting to try a defense of not guilty by reason of insanity.
Yeah, could be.
For P. Diddy.
Yeah. All right. Well, I always appreciate your take on issues here, Doctor. Dr. Carol Lieberman, once again. And the best place, what? There's terroristtherapist.com. That's your main website that people can go to read everything up on.
Yes.
Right?
Well, and particularly these days, because I was around for 9/11, I went around again with my mobile billboard truck and my video about terrorism and so on. But this year, I did it much more to wake people up to the terrorists in our streets. And I'm going to be doing something similar on October 7th. Too. I talked about that in the 9/11 video this year. But I'm going to be talking about bringing the attention back to people, remembering, trying to get people to remember it was Hamas who attacked Israel, not Israel who attacked the poor Palestinians.
Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, I appreciate you coming on. And by the way, that article that you were mentioning with Elon Musk, that's the Daily Mail. Is it just about Elon Musk? I just want to find it. Pardon me. I want to be able to find that. I want to make sure I find that properly.
Do the edit to get to Elon Musk.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right. Very good. Hey.
It is fine.
Thanks so much, Dr. Lieberman. Always a pleasure. Be well.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
TerroristTherapist.com. Great site. I make that 657, rather. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters.
Visit them at FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, is where you are. KPXG Grants Pass, 99.3 FM. Some emails of the day, and those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. It's right next to the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. And by the way, while you wait, crowns are especially, they have an in-house lab now, which is so cool. It's a wonderful, wonderful machine that they show me. It's actually fun to watch it, to take the block of the crown material and to expertly through the computers and everything else and the pictures they take in your mouth, just carve that all up, and then they pop it right in. It's amazing. Like I said, I had it done. Still got it in there. No, I'm not going to be impolite and open my mouth on Facebook and show it to you. But yeah, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Hans Albuquerque writes today, Bill, Oregon removes 1,259 people from the voter rolls in the news this week. North Carolina removed 747,000. Is this another definition of dichotomy? No. Hans, I just want to assuage your concerns here because Oregon is just that good. We are just that good, that tight, that secure with our voter registration situation. I mean, those backwood rednecks in North Carolina, I mean, they're the ones making all. Yeah, we're. Of course it is. I'm just having fun with you, Hans. You know that. Yeah. I was reading, in fact, I think there was an article I was reading. I think it was on Kobe, KOBI5.com. Where was that? In which they were talking about election security. Gosh, where did I do with that? But Okay, it's in my pile of stuff here somewhere. But apparently they were talking about how the Jackson County clerk ended up getting some new like fob locks, so that way there's an audit trail of, you know, everybody that gets to go in and out of the election department. And I think that's great. Nothing wrong with having and being able to track that and audit it and keep the elections secure. But I don't think it's the counting by our county clerks in Jackson and Josephine counties that are the election security issues. The election security issues is the loosey-goosiness and the absolute lack of accountability of how people are registered and qualified to vote, and the fact that they are not allowed to clean the voter rolls. They're not even allowed to clean the voter rolls here in the state of Oregon like they did in North Carolina. That's why you have Dr. Frank. It was in Josephine County the other day talking about, you know, what is it, 105% voter registration in Joe County, last time I remember when I was at one of his events. It may be more for all we know. When they talk about 105% of the voting population is registered to vote, this is what they mean. All of these old voters could be dead voters, people who have moved away, doesn't get taken off or wasn't cleared up. You know, that's the real voting irregularity, not whether there are good locks on the elections department. Although there's nothing wrong with having good locks, please understand, that's not the problem with the voting system. All right? All right. But thank you very much, Hans. Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. We'll check Town Hall News. Mr. Outdoors will join me, and then it is the Outdoor Report. We'll have fun with that.